and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Raise your head, for love is passing by.
Come to Jesus.
Your burdens lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain.
At this moment, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. How are you all doing this morning? What's up? Ah, there's the bag. Thank you, Cadence. All right. We excited? All right, let's see what we got. A little duck. Well, if I can get the bag open. Yeah. Look at that. Little duck says, my first Easter. Oh, man. Home run. Hey, hold on. No, you don't get the bag. My first Easter. What do we do with ducks, Joel? Sit. Anyone have a rubber ducky? No? Nobody has a rubber ducky. Okay, well, we won't go that way then. So, Easter, what's important about Easter?
Jesus rose from the dead.
That's right. Jesus rose from the dead. And this little duck reminds Cadence about Easter. Are there various things that remind you all about Easter? God. Easter eggs, yeah. different things that remind us about that. It's important that we have things that remind us of special days, right? Remind us of those moments in our lives and in history that are important and that make us who we are. And Easter is certainly one of those. Birthdays are another. And VBS is always a special time of year, right? What did you all get really excited about in VBS? Every time Miss Susie asked you all to pray, did y'all get excited? Yeah, that's right. And when Miss Susie asked you all to pray, who all raised their hands and wanted to come up and pray? Yeah, you did, and you did. Well, we want to try something new with our time together. Here you go, Cadence, you can have that back. And I want to have you all close us in prayer after our children's. Hold on, son. We're going to have someone show an example before we let you do it. So Cadence, where did Cadence go? She's over there. Who do you want to have the bag this week, Cadence? I tell you what, let's give the bag to Elizabeth, all right, this time. And who would like to close us in prayer this morning? All right, Thomas, you stand up, and I'm going to turn this on. Now, listen, the rules of this are I'm going to hold the mic, and I'm only going to touch the mic, and you're just going to pray into it, okay? So everyone, bow your heads and close your eyes, and Thomas is going to pray. Yeah, I know you do. All right, close your eyes and bow your heads.
We love everybody. We love God. We love everybody and thanks God for this day and this and our food. Amen.
Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church. Go to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ecclesiastes. It was a favorite scripture passage that was given to me last year. The actual passage was Ecclesiastes 3:1. I've added verses 2 through 8 to give us a little context and to kind of help flesh out what verse 1 is telling us this morning. Familiar words probably to many of us, and as we hear these words, let us be mindful of God's love and grace in our midst. Hear now God's word from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a season for everything and a time for every matter under the heavens, a time for giving birth and a time for dying, a time for planting and a time for uprooting what was planted, a time for killing and a time for healing, a time for tearing down and a time for building up, a time for crying and a time for laughing, a time for mourning and a time for dancing, a time for throwing stones and a time for gathering stones, a time for embracing and a time for avoiding embraces, a time for searching and a time for losing, a time for keeping and a time for throwing away, a time for tearing and a time for repairing, a time for keeping silent and a time for speaking, a time for loving and a time for hating, a time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and may we in the strength of the bodies that you have given to us be faithful to your call upon us. We love you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Time is an interesting thing, is it not? I've always been fascinated by time. I've always been fascinated by clocks and grandfather clocks and things of this nature. My goal at one point in life is to have a grandfather clock, whether Abby thinks they're ugly or not. And it may happen, I don't know, we'll see. But time can also be a cruel thing, right? Time is no respecter of persons. It continues to move forward, and it's constantly moving forward without any regard for anyone or anything. Right? It seems like Christmas was just yesterday, doesn't it? And it seems like tomorrow is going to be New Year's Eve, and we're already almost halfway through July, and it does not quite seem possible. In some instances, time flies by far quicker than we would want it. And when the preacher is preaching, time seems to stand still and drag on and on and on. And time is interesting that way. The author of Ecclesiastes here, he refers to himself and is called the teacher. And this is one of the works of wisdom that we have in the Old Testament. And so he's known as the teacher, and he wants to educate us on life. He wants to help us understand what life is about, and he does this throughout this book, and especially here in the passage we have before us. Now, the teacher is often viewed as a very cynical person because more often than not, he ends something or says that something is vain. All is vain. All is vanity, right? And he says this over and over again, and he tends to be pretty cynical, or at least appear that way. Yet, this morning, in this passage that I've read for us, I believe he's not being cynical, but rather he is trying to help free us from what often paralyzes us. He's trying to broaden our understanding of time, of life, as we know it, so that we will not be afraid to live life, as we often tend to be. Now, we all know the old adage or the phrase, a watched pot never boils. Yet, how much time do we spend wasting? Just watching life rather than really living it, right? How much time do we spend or waste concerned with what others are doing and how other things are going, and we don't spend time ourselves living the life we have been called to live? And we're all guilty of that. Has anyone here ever killed time? It won't die, will it? Just keeps moving. Just keeps going forward. The teacher, God himself, through the teacher, wants to help us live life. The teacher wants to show us how life works so that we can live it to its fullest. And the teacher addresses several concerns, but I think he addresses the main concern that often immobilizes us. And so the first thing the teacher really kind of addresses is our main concern. Our main concern with life, and that is God's sovereignty. He wants to address this. He wants to get this right out in the open, because when we get this figured out, then everything else will kind of fall in place. And his main emphasis here, when he says there's a reason for everything and a time for every matter under the heavens, what he is telling us is that God cares. And for some of us this morning, that may not seem true. But God cares. We are not alone. He is always with us. There is a time for every matter. There is a season for everything. The list in verses 2 through 8 have often kind of confused me and caused me to wonder. And as I've studied and looked at it this week, this list in verses 2 to 8 really does nothing more than show us what the average life is going to contain. He's not telling us to calendar in things, right? He's not telling us, all right, on Tuesday you need to kill, right? On Wednesday you need to heal. On Thursday it's time to tear down or to love or to hate or this, that, or the other. He's not telling us to make a list and to calendar these things, but what he's doing is he's showing us that between life and death, what he begins speaking about, between birth and death, everything in between is going to happen. It's not a matter of if these things occur, it's simply a matter of when. We all know that these things are inevitable. Yet how often are we to blame God? How quick are we to do that when things don't go well? When the time for dying approaches, the time for uprooting, the time for tearing down, the time for mourning, we're so quick to be upset at God and to blame him. But we must remember that verses 2 through 8, this list, is not part of God's plan A. What was God's plan A? Eden. seemed pretty nice. But Adam and Eve did what we often tend to do. They decided to overcomplicate things. Right? Well, that looks kind of good. I think I'll have some of that. And boom, here we are. This list is not part of God's plan A. We have brought verses 2 through 8 really upon ourselves. We're the ones to blame for most of this stuff. It's our fault. We have been the ones to decide on this reality. How quick are we to blame others when really we know deep down that we're the ones that have caused our current reality in one form or another? And there's really no one to blame but us. You see, God has provided us with the choice, because that was his prerogative, because he is love, and love always demands a choice, but we're the ones that decided to pull the trigger on what choice we would make. And I know what you're thinking, well, but why doesn't God stop it? Right? Well, he doesn't stop it because he's the one that put us in charge of all of it. Right? We often tend to forget this. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 to 31, after God has created all of these things, after he has created the universe and set everything in its place, what does he do? He says, all right, Adam and Eve, y'all are in charge. Y'all figure this out. You all steward this creation. And what did they decide day one? Hey, let's figure out our own way to figure this out. Let's try to do this our own way. Here's the instructions, but we don't need those. We'll figure it out, right? And so they attempt then to do it themselves. Because God has put this world under our care, and we have decided that we know better than God, and we tend to do this quite often. And so with this in mind, the teacher then is left to try to help us figure out and find meaning in our current reality. All right. So this is what's going on. This is how life is going to be because of the decisions that we've made. Now let's figure out how to live into the reality that we have brought upon ourselves. Let's figure this out. And so secondly, the teacher helps us to move beyond our fears. And again, this list is not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And we cannot allow the fear of what if to keep us from living the life God wants us to. You see, he lays all of these things out. There is a time and a season for all of this. So get over it and follow me. Stop worrying about all of these things. There's nothing you can do to stop them, really. Most of these things are far beyond our control. But you've got to follow me. You've got to trust in me. And that's difficult for us because the unknown, the future, change, all of these things are difficult for us. And how often do they rob us because of our fear? They rob us of life. They rob us of joy that we could have if we would but put them aside and focus on God. The time we spend worrying is time lost. It's time lost loving others. It's time lost living the life that God has set before us. It's time lost praising God for all of the things that he has and continues to do in our midst. How much time have you lost with family, with friends, or with God because of fear and anxiety, because of the unknown? God wants us to be set free from worry and to be set free from fear so that we can praise him, so that we can live life and live it abundantly through him. We're reminded that perfect love casts out fear. So as we strive for that perfection in love, we're striving to get rid of all of these things that would cause us great fear and anxiety. And then he tells us again in another story that worry doesn't add to our life, but again, it takes away. It diminishes life. The inevitability of these things, this list, should not keep us from living, but they should free us to know that even in the midst of them, God is with us. God is here. God is present. And I don't know about you, but that gives me joy. that kind of takes some of the burden off of my shoulders so that I can just live life and enjoy it to the full. The teacher addresses our main concern dealing with God's sovereignty, because at the end of the day, that is a big concern for all of us. He helps us to move beyond our fears. And then finally, the teacher wants us to enjoy each day for what it is. The good, the bad, and everything in between. And I find that the bad days, while they are bad, allow me to enjoy the good days so much more. Because they put the good days in perspective, don't they? I've told you before that God saw fit to smite me with a kidney stone years and years ago. It's probably a bad way to put it, but that's how it felt. And every day that I don't have a kidney stone is a good day. Right? Can I get an amen on that one? Every day that I'm not having to deal with an issue is a good day, is it not? Those are good days. And we wouldn't know those days were good if there wasn't the bad. We simply wouldn't. How many stories have we heard of God taking things that were bad and turning them into something good, something beautiful? We love those stories. We gravitate towards those. Yet somehow or another, when our life is a part of that story, it doesn't quite get the same joy. It doesn't quite mean the same thing. And I think what this passage is trying to tell us and show us is that good comes out of chaos. It just does. And we know what good is because we know what the bad could be. And we see this again in Genesis. What was the world before God decided to intervene? It was chaos. It was dark. It was void. The Spirit hovered over the waters, and there was nothing. And He decided to take something that was nothing, something that was chaos, something that was bad, and turn it into something good. Today is a good day. And it is a good day for one primary reason. Because God has made it. Because it is a gift given to us. It is a good day because of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Because of His life, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. It is a good day because the Holy Spirit continues to show us and to pour out upon us the gifts He has given us so that we might share this joy with others. It is a good day because of our Father's great love for us. Today is a good day because God wants to redeem the bad. He wants to turn it around. He wants to set things right. And I ask you this morning, will you let Him do that? Will you give those things over to Him that you are afraid of? Your fears, your anxieties, your doubts. Will you give them to Him so that He can redeem it? Will you allow this day to be a good day? When I was younger, our family traveled quite a bit. And when we would be driving in the car, my dad would ask me a question. He's the guy back there. He'd play the piano earlier. He would ask me a question. He'd say, "Matt, what day is it?" And I'd think to myself, "What day is it? Well, yesterday was Monday. Today must be Tuesday, right?" Or I'd say something like that. And then he'd start singing, "This is the day." Anyone know that song? So I'm going to ask you what day it is, and we're going to tell each other what day it is. And I'm going to lead it, but you're going to follow in. And you're gonna take it over. All right, so what day is today? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Stop watching the pot to see if it will boil. And just enjoy the process. Stop watching life happen and join in. Stop worrying about what could be and enjoy what is. Stop losing sight of God's presence and allow Him to walk with you in life, to dance with you, to do whatever it is He has called you to do with you. Let today be a good day. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for the various times and seasons in life that You bring our way and that happen. Give us the strength to get through. Give us the eyes to see You in the midst. Help us to know that You are there and that it is a good day because of that. We love You, we thank You, we praise You, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.